Good afternoon and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. You're listening to 94.5 WGTK FM in Greenville. And if you're riding down the road right now with your windows up, roll them down. There's a lot of good fresh air out there. And it's just, I don't understand people, windows up, air conditioning on, when it's, you know, 70-something degrees outside or 60-something degrees. So roll them down. Speaking of rolling down in fresh air, we're going to catch up with my good friend Neil Paul again, who has spent most of this week in the fresh air down at Green Pond Landing in Anderson, South Carolina. Neil, are you there?
I'm here. Good afternoon, Roger.
Hey, good 4 days of Bass Nation tournaments in Anderson this week.
Yeah, and along with the fresh air, I can tell you where the sun comes up on Lake Hartwell, and I can tell you where the sun goes down on Lake Hartwell.
Okay, tell us.
Listen, this has been a wonderful week for us, and I tell you what, just having this was kind of extra special for us over here this week, because obviously, you know, well, obviously we're gearing up for the 2018 sure. Bassmaster Classic, but this was the first, and so a lot of folks may not know this. This was the first non-classic event with bass that we'd hosted at Green Pond. So we've hosted a classic at Green Pond, and we've hosted, you know, other organizations mm-hmm. and other tournaments. But this was our first bass event that was non-classic related, and it's been a great event. You know, for those that may be just tuning in today, the Bass Nation Championship has featured 60 boats this week.
Yeah.
60 boats, and you think, well, gosh, that's not very large. But when you consider the fact that of the 60 boats, there were 47 states represented in 9 countries.
Yeah.
It's just been a phenomenal week. A lot of great folks have come together. And here in just a little bit, we're getting ready for this afternoon's championship weigh-ins. The top 3 finishers today will earn a spot in the Bassmaster Classic come March.
And be right back where they are today. Pretty exciting. That's
exactly right.
This is a good tune-up for the Classic, though, right?
Absolutely. And our Anderson County team, just talking about the logistical side of it, we treated, Bass announced that the Nation Championship was coming here back in April. And we had begun planning way before then. But we've treated this like a Classic.
Yeah.
And from the logistical standpoint with our Anderson County team, folks from Solid Waste, Roads and Bridges, our event staff, folks that we utilize, our volunteer team, and things like that. So we really, for lack of better words, we brought in the big guns for this event and treated it as really kind of a warm-up or kind of a rehearsal for the Classic.
Yeah, that's a good thing to have as a warm-up. Are we going to get an elite stop anytime soon, you think?
We're working on it. In fact, I mean, our office, I'm, you know, working with organizations, Bass included. We're working on scheduling tournaments as far out as right now, 2020, 2021.
Wow.
And we're definitely, there are definitely conversations going on with Bass for an Elite Series stop here in Anderson at Lake Hartwell and Green Pond. And, you know, but we're also having conversations, too, about how we can continue to strengthen our relationship with Bass and looking at other events such as, like, you know, maybe hosting a Bass Team Championship okay. one day or a college event. You know, in addition to, I don't know if you've discussed this in some of your information with your listeners, but the Bass, the high school series is going to bring a high school open here April 14th in 2018, which will bring the high school fishing. I know it's something you and I are going to talk about a little later, but yeah. with the emergence of high school fishing, they've already announced that they're going to cap the field at 350 boats. And so we're just tremendously excited about that and the opportunity. And let's be honest. I mean, most folks that in bass fishing circles regard bass as the worldwide leader in bass fishing. And so to have them in our community this week has certainly, we've had to be on our, you know, put our best foot forward, and Bass has certainly brought their best. And I mean, it's just been a great week.
Green Pond Landing, y'all are currently doing some improvements, have done some improvements before the Bass Nation Championship came. After they leave, y'all are going to do some more between now and the Classic here in March. What are some of those things y'all are doing down there?
Well, just recently, if you've been at a month ago, if you were in Green Pond, you would know that the upper parking lot, the really up at the highest point since the opening of the facility, has been a gravel parking lot. With the help of Anderson County, the parking lot over the past month has been paved.
Okay.
And curbing was installed, and which Bass was able to take advantage of this week to utilize as their service yard for the nation championship contenders. But with the addition of the paved parking lot, that gives us all parking areas in Green Pond are now fully paved.
Okay.
And marked. Between December and really probably January 1,
okay,
to be honest with you. But before the Classic comes in March, the county has renderings for and bids out now for a restroom facility to be built on site, so we can move away from relying on Port-a-Johns so much. But a permanent restroom facility to be in place, along with 350 linear feet of dock space.
That's a lot.
Right now there's 200.
Yeah.
Right now Green Pond has 250 feet linear feet of dock space now, and we're going to add another 350 to it.
Do you know where that's going to be? Is it going to be on the other side of the ramp, or extended or what?
Actually, if you can draw a mental picture, and this is, I know it's terrible for radio, but but if you're familiar with the facility now, the existing dock space right now is an 8-foot wide dock, and it's 250 linear feet out into the lake. And basically what's going to happen is that dock is going to be removed.
Okay.
And replaced on the other side of the ramp.
Okay. All right.
A new 250 foot dock space, 10 foot wide, is going to go in the place of the current existing dock now.
Wow.
Then at the end of that 250 feet, it basically like an L shape,
okay,
is going to be an additional 100 feet that extend into the lake.
Wow. That's a lot of dock.
And essentially what that's going to do is, you know this from conversations, on the other side of the three existing lanes that are in place now,
right,
the long-term plan has three more lanes, and moving the 8-foot or the 8-foot wide 250 foot section over to the other side will actually be the divider between the six lanes.
Cool.
In the end project.
What's the timeline on those other three ramps? Do you know?
There's not been a timeline placed on those. I know the county has accelerated their efforts to make sure that the dock space and the restrooms are done in time for the Classic.
Right.
I'll tell you, sort of a pickle that I'm in is I've all of a sudden become immersed in lake levels, and so part of me wants a wet winter so that we can get some water and get more water in the lake before the Classic, and then the other part of me says if we have a wet winter, it's gonna really put a damper on some of these construction projects. So I just, you know, we just say our prayers and hope that good things happen.
Well, good things will happen. Are there any plans for an escalator over there?
you're out there listening to you're out there listening to things you shouldn't be listening to. It's like rat poison. You're eating the rat poison. On that note, the hillside that you're referring to, there is plans from the county to come in, do some additional blasting and grading,
okay,
into the hillside next year during the summer months, in which they're looking at installing two or three break walls,
okay,
with a tiered walkway. And so that would break up having to walk the hill in its existing state. But, you know, and I'll throw him under the bus. But like Casey Ashley said, if you don't like launching at Green Pond for free, you can always go across the way and launch at Portman for $8.
That's right. And it really, it's not bad once. I mean, you're coming down once and you're going up once if you park up there. So you really only got to climb one time. But officially, there have been no heart attacks at Green Pond Landing, correct?
I felt like I was having one this morning when I had to run up it at 5 o'clock this morning But no, I'm still here with you.
Okay, good. Well, look, let's take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about the high school bass class. Something that's, man, neither one of us had an idea would get to this point when we talked a little over a year ago. But when we come back, talk a little bit about that. And so y'all hang on for more Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Just keep on burning like you know.
And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Back again with Neil, Paul, and Neil. You and I have such a good time together. I just couldn't help but poke the escalator at you this time around.
Oh, no, not listen. That's minimal to some of the stuff I've heard this week. So, no, you're good.
Oh, man. Well, look, last January, actually a little over a year ago, you had had an idea for what has come to be the high school bass class. And we did one in January, had 189 people show up for it. Great time. We're going to do it again in December. I guess this year, the biggest change is we got a 3-day event now.
Yes. And we'd had a 3-day event last year, but I was the minority vote in the room.
Well, but wanted to start off kind of within our, you know, not having to do it, kind of wanted to keep it simple and just see how it turned out last year. The third day we've got this year is probably better than the third day we'd had last year, you think?
Absolutely. It's what you said. We felt like we had something really good that we were working on, and if we could get the pieces in place if we could put the pieces in place that we thought eventually we could have something that was really special. And we didn't realize that we would find that special so fast. And
wow.
And obviously one of the things that we did in last year's event was, you know, we formed a partnership. Well, really following last year's event, we formed a partnership with Shimano.
Mm-hmm.
Word association, you know,
oh,
what do you think when you hear Shimano? I've always thought Cadillac because Shimano products are some of the best in the business, and they liked what we were doing. They came on with, well, obviously, you know, big thanks there goes to you for making that relationship, but, you know, invited Shimano out to come up and have their set team in place last year, and they really had, basically, they brought all their equipment up here and rolled it out for the kids.
Just basically to
play with for 2 days
day
Saturday.
Yeah.
And it went over so well and was so well received, not only by Shimano, but the kids and they just had a great time. And then Shimano came and said, hey, what can we do to get more involved? And so from that conversation, you know, it evolved into what's our third day plan this year. And I guess kind of to back up and give some meat and potatoes here, but the high school bass class this year will be Friday, December 15th through Sunday, December 17th. And it's going to feature, regular, like classroom style,
yeah,
teaching events with pros and with vendors on Saturday. And then Sunday, Shimano's basically taking the Sunday portion of our program, and they've basically created a career day type of program where they're going to go in and in the format that we use on Saturday with the classes, they're going to go in on Sunday and have industry related presentations to the kids. And it basically for kids is, you know, hey, not everybody's going to be Kevin Van Dam or Casey Ashley and fish the Elite Series. And you may not want to. You may just love to fish and like to be around it. Or you may love fish and have no aspirations, or maybe you're not able to fish professionally, but you want to stay close to the industry and there's jobs out there for you. If you're into computers and there's IT jobs available in the industry, there's marketing jobs available in the industry, there's tech jobs available in the industry. And, you know, I think the average age of I think we learned this
in Tennessee,
the round table that mm-hmm. we went to in Tennessee, that I think the average age of the, you know, motor techs is deceased.
Yeah, almost.
It's
mid-60s.
There's a big push now to have message. What can we do to get younger folks involved in the industry side, especially in technical support in the fishing industry? And there's jobs out there. And so I know from our conversations with Shimano, they've got folks from, I think, Humminbird, Minn Kota, Skeeter, Yamaha, and some of those relationships that they have that are going to come in and make presentations. And then you and I have sort of decided to kind of offset the, instead of having vendors on a career day, we're going to bring in colleges and have a career fair.
That's right.
So kids, so you young high school anglers and high school coaches and parents that come out with the kids to the bass class on Sunday while the kids are going through career programs, you can also visit with area colleges that have fishing programs and put your face in front of a college coach for kids that are going to be going to college soon.
You know, I had dinner Thursday night with Britt Myers up in Lake Wylie, and we were talking about this because he's going to be there again this year. And I was telling him all about Sunday, and he was like, well, shoot. He said, that's great because, you know, little Britt's a senior this year, and he said, in colleges, you know, we're looking for colleges and all that. And he said, I've got tons of questions about fishing in college. You know, whether they're excused absences for practice or tournaments, or how's that handled? Does the college endorse the fishing team, support it, or is it just a club on campus like, you know, USC is? So he's an elite series guy, but he said, I'm there on Sunday because I want to talk to some of these colleges about what happens when they do go into the college fishing program. So big addition there is to have some of those colleges coming in on Sunday.
Well, and some other additions too that, you know, that are, we feel like we've worked really hard to try and outdo the product that we put out there last year, but
we've had a great
return on commitments to speakers too. So, you know, classic champion, Jordan Lee has committed to come and be our speaker on Friday night for dinner. So we're going to have a good time, have Jordan Lee in the house on Friday night.
Yep.
And then on Saturday, we've got commitments from FLW Pro Brandon Cobb, FLW Pro Brian Latimer, Elite Series Angler Britt Myers. And we've also, had commitments to speak from, Elite Series Anglers Casey Ashley, who is the 2015 Classic Champion here.
Defending at Lake Hartwell Classic Champion.
That's right.
Yeah.
And as well as Marty Robinson.
Yep.
And we're working on a few others. Randy Howell, Livingston Pro Randy Howell is gonna come in and do a devotional type message, inspirational talk for the young anglers on Sunday morning. So, you know, you sit there and you look and there's, you know, in our lineup just this year, we've got three classic champions in our lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, you know, it's obviously something we're really passionate about too, but it speaks to the commitment of the anglers to the kids. And that's what this program is all about. It's not about, you know, Neil Paul. It's not about Roger Metz. It's not about, you know, Casey Ashley and Jordan Lee. It's about the kids and offering opportunities for the kids. Not everybody, and I'll say this, we've got, you know, we've got high school fishing teams all over the state of South Carolina and that we can draw from, Northeast Georgia, Western North Carolina. And this isn't for everybody. Not everybody has, you know, aspirations of doing this, but this is a program that's truly all about the kids.
Yeah,
and all of our efforts are geared toward providing not only the best experience for the kids, but providing the most information that we can, whether it's tactical information or whether it's life information.
Yeah, and it's amazing how much we go back to that. I mean, you and I'll be in conversations about bringing in so and so, or talking about and it always seems that one of us reminds the other, okay, let's look at it from the kid's standpoint.
That's always been first and foremost. And our number one question when we sit down and talk, and we have a little committee that works on this event with us, and everybody's bought in, that anytime there's a tough question that has to be answered in the room, we always go back to, remembering why we're here, and that's to benefit the kids.
Yep. We got a couple minutes left. If you're out there listening, and it's something we've kind of had to deal with in the past, you know, because this is first and foremost for high school fishing teams. But last year we had a young lady down along the coast who was homeschooled. She fished, I think it was the ABA, is it the Legend Series?
The Legacy Series.
Legacy Series. Fishers of Men Legacy
with
Series.
With her father.
Yeah. And, you know, she called us up, her mom called us up and said, look, my daughter loves fishing. She's not a member of the team. In that instance, we made an allowance and let her come. We've also made allowances for, like, families with multiple kids who want to come. So there are some a little places for leeway there. If you think you have a question that in one of those avenues in your situation, don't hesitate to give us a call, right?
Absolutely. And just, I guess, to highlight some basic information other than the fact that the events, the 15th through the 17th of December, but, you know, the cost is, I think we've decided we're going to charge, it's $50 a kid. $50 a kid, but, each kid receives a shirt. We feed them dinner on Friday night, with our speaker and they get a gift. Each kid gets a gift bag, of product from folks throughout the industry that have supported the kids' efforts and want to see the kids succeed. And it's just, I mean, it really is an experience. It's all about the kids and I'm fortunate that you and I get to work together on such an event.
It's fun. Well, look, we got about 30 seconds left. How do they go about, finding out more information?
Right now, they can contact you. You can check out our we have social media pages. Okay. We have, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. It's, High School Bass Class, is how you look us up. High School Bass Class, or you can email me directly in my office, which is Neil, N-E-I-L, at visitanderson.com. At visitanderson.com. Obviously, reach out to us through social media, and obviously, they can reach out to you through Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Talk to you soon, my buddy.
Appreciate it, man. You have a wonderful afternoon.
All right, bye. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We're going to try to survive the next 30 minutes together. I have 26 minutes or so. I have a pounding headache, sore throat. You name it. I got it going on. Sucking on the cough drop. Got my cup of tea here, so we'll see if we can get through it all. High school bass class, it's just been a really cool thing to be a part of. I appreciate Neil bringing me on board early on in the process. And if you need to get a hold of somebody, there's really three people you can talk to. You can talk to Neil. That's Neil, N-E-I-L, at visitanderson.com. Of course, you can get a hold of me here through Facebook or Roger at woodsandwatersc.com, or Marty Walker at Palmetto Boat Center. Marty's part of our team, and he was going to be here today, but he's actually working in the weigh-in booth there at Green Pond for the Bass Nation Championship, so he couldn't join us. But Marty's tournament trail is really where we started out last year with those kids. And now we're drawing from North Carolina, Georgia. There's another tournament trail on the coast we're tapped into this year too. So looking for a really good event. It's been fun. It's, it is not an adult come hang out with the pros day. It is kids coming, learning, firsthand from these guys what it takes to fish, not just at the Elite Series or FLW Series level, but just any level. You know, hey, here's something that helps me out. I know last year Justin Lucas was tying knots in class, and the kids were around with their cell phones videotaping his knot. It's that type stuff. It's stuff they can use next tournament or next practice or share with the friends that couldn't come. So just a really good thing. And I hope if you're listening and know somebody, a high school team, we try to get this information out to as many people as we can. We're not always successful at that. So if you know someone, don't take for granted they've heard about it. Go ahead and let them know it's happening this December, 15th, 16th, 17th, Anderson, South Carolina, high school bass class. And it looks like there's more growth on the way next year, which is something we'll get into a little bit later on. Going to hit a few calendar events items this week. Brought to you by Visit Anderson and Green Pine Landing and Event Center, which we just talked to the executive director of Visit Anderson, Neil Paul. Lake Watery's Creepy Camp Out. Yes, we have Halloween coming up. Halloween. I don't know how, but Taylor, my youngest daughter, this is her holiday. This is the big one for her, and there are spiders and spider webs all over her room and skulls everywhere. Not everywhere. There are two little play skulls in her room that I don't really like. But anyway, this is just her. So Lake Watery's Creepy Camp Out. Lake Watery's annual Creepy Camp Out will be the treat of the season. Enjoy trick-or-treating with park campers, decorated campsites, participate in many Halloween-themed activities throughout the day. They can have scavenger hunt, carnival games, hay rides, costume contest, golf cart decoration contest, and trick-or-treating, and then pumpkin carving. So October 28th, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Lake Watery State Park in Winnsboro, South Carolina. You can go to the South Carolina State Parks website and get more information on that one. I tried to find out if there's any more of room in this one, but there's an outdoor photography workshop and photo shoot this Saturday, October 28th from 9 a.m. to noon at the Tiger 10 Nature Center in Walnut. That's on 3100 Walnut Grove in Roebuck, South Carolina. This instructor is Stephen Anschel. It's $35. And it's part of the Tiger River Foundation. So you can go to their website, the Tiger River Foundation, and get more information and improve your outdoor photography. I got a call this morning. I'm actually going to do some product photography this week for someone, which is going to be pretty fun. Of course, it'll be out on the water. Got to have some water in there somewhere. Hobcall Barony, one of their programs is the Plantation Sportsman Waterfowl and Wetlands. It's October the 29th through the 30th, Sunday and Monday. It's $175 per person. I couldn't find out if there's any more openings here, but it's a pretty cool one. The latest offering in Hobcall Barony's Plantation Sportsman Series will not only capitalize on Hobcall Barony's illustrious history, but also explore its vital present. Jim Lee from the Tom Yawkey Wildlife Center will be there. Thomas Rainwater, he's a research coordinator at Clemson Branch Institute of Coastal Ecology. Dan Hitchcock, Clemson Branch Institute Associate Professor and Engineer. Frank Beckham, Chief Local Sportsman. Craig Sasser, who manages the 35,000-acre Waccamaw National Heritage Refuge for U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Lee Brockingham, he's a senior interpreter there at Hobcall Barony. And Richard Camlin, also there from the Barony. From rice plantation to winter retreat for Northerners, it's always played an integral role in South Carolina's duck hunting heritage and influenced the legacy of landowners and conservationists throughout the Lowcountry. It goes through kind of some of the seminars they're going to have. They're going to actually take a tour of the 1,000-acre rice field, which straddles a couple of adjoining plantations. They're going to go through a swamp with Dan Hitchcock, the freshwater wetlands instructor. And it's one of those things I wish I could go to. Then you're going to take a pontoon boat trip. And let's see, where are you going to go? Just all through the waterway. So Winya Bay is where it's going to be. So anyway, it's just that heritage of the rice, low country rice fields, and the role they play in wetlands ecology, migratory birds and all that, leading into duck season, be a really good one to go to. And you can find more information on that one at hobcallbarony.org. Look for the Plantation Sportsman Waterfowl Wetlands. Gosh, I wish I could go to that. Too many things to do. Glendale Outdoor Leadership School, GOLS, it is now being run. It has been given to the local hiker. So the local hiker in Greenville, Spartanburg, the Silvermans are now running Glendale Outdoor Leadership School. And they are offering on November the 4th from 10 to 3 a guided paddle trip on Lake Jocassee. Now, November 4th, the leaves up there ought to be really, really good. So this is something, they're going to give you all your equipment. All you got to bring is your lunch. So November the 4th, 10 to 3, Lake Jocassee, through Glendale Outdoor Leadership School. You can contact Kay Silverman at Set Goals, SETGOLS, for more information and to secure your spot. And then from the Department of Natural Resources, the 2017-2018 MACME Debbie May Public Lottery Quail Hunt. Hunt dates start November 24th and run all the way through January the 6th. The kicker to this one is applications must be submitted by 5 p.m. Tuesday, October 31st. I want to say the next, when I had the last pair of bird dogs I had, I took them out to MACME for one last, kind of like a one last hunt. I killed two wild birds out there that day. That's a great time. That's a great place to be. Some of the biggest pine cones I've ever seen have come from the sandhills over there. I got a couple of them in my basement. They're just huge. Hunt fee, non-refundable fee of $5 per hunter. Your email address is mandatory. This is an online application, by the way. Email address, they'll notify you by that. Hunting license, you must have a WMA permit in addition to a valid hunting license to attend the hunt. A hunter younger than 16 years of age is not required to possess a hunting license but must be accompanied by an adult 21 years or older. Youth hunters must be at least 10 years of age to apply. The non-selection option is for applicants who know they will be unable to hunt during the scheduled hunt periods. The option allows the applicants to be excluded from the lottery yet acquire a preference point, which will be added to any accumulated points for the following year's hunt. So just like out west, where you can apply just for a preference point, you can do that with this hunt too. So anyway, more information there at the DNR site. And don't forget the waterfowl hunts, they're also up for a on the October 31st deadline. Let's see. Oh, gosh. Okay. Deer hunting, full swing. What have I got, about 2 minutes left? 2 minutes. I'll fill in with something else right quick because I want to do this and then talk about it a little bit. Plenty of questions out there. You know, deer season is in full swing. There are some nice deer being taken across the state of South Carolina. I guess we had kind of a bad year last year, which has allowed them to really flourish this year. If you're out there, two things. If you go on an internet site like a deer hunting, you're going to get 21,000 different replies and opinions, almost. I'd say that literally. But you're going to get the guys who are serious. You're going to get the guys who are poking fun at you. They're going to give you – some guys just going to give you outright, you know, blatant, you know, not even sensical information. If you have information about hunting regulations, there are two ways to go about getting it. You can go to Walmart or a lot of feed and seed stores, hunting stores across state, pick up a free regulations book. They're free. You know, it's print, a lot of good advertising, a lot of good information. It gives you all the information you need to know to stay legal to hunt. If you don't want to do that, there is a website, dnr.sc.gov/hunting. And you can hunt, you can look at alligator, bear, coyote, deer, dove, small game, turkey, wild hog, you know, how to apply for your licenses, lottery hunts, mobility impaired hunts, youth hunts. You can get information by game zone. Don't rely on everybody else to tell you when you can hunt, what you can hunt, what day is what. When there's information out there, you can get it that's not wrong. So, all right, hang on. Got some things to finish up with this edition of Woods and Water South Carolina after the break. Song by Foreigner. Lou Graham, man, he could sing. Deer season, it is, I love to see it come because I love spending out time. I actually got a couple of mornings in the woods this week and just, oh gosh, 38 degrees just does something to you. I don't know, it's hard to put into words, but I think the National Deer Alliance did a great job. They've had a video out. Take a listen to this right quick.
If this old tree stand could talk, what stories it could tell about the bucks that got away and those that fell. It saw Grandpa kill the Big Ten back in 74. It's where he last hunted before getting too old to go anymore. It's one holler over from where Dad's first buck was found. He proudly drove that spike all over town with his tailgate down. If this old tree stand could talk, imagine the sunrises it's seen. Every color in God's palette, red and yellow, brown and green. He's watched bucks rub trees, heard wild turkeys thunder. It's had storms pass above and all kinds of critters pass under. If this old tree stand could talk, it'd tell you about Dad crying in his seat after hearing the news my mom was expecting me. As she tells it, he was headed out the door full speed. She whispered, "Get a big one tonight. We've got another mouth to feed." I smile about that and gaze at my daughter as we sit in the woods with the rifle my pop bought her. If this old tree stand could talk, a patriot it would be. Proud to stand tall in the land of the free. It's been here while wars were fought far away, providing freedom for my family to enjoy opening day. If this old tree stand could talk, I'd ask it how I'd done. Not my skill as a hunter, but the man I'd become. It's seen my ethics tested and watched over my decisions. It's been the spot I go to clear my thinking and vision. If this old tree stand could talk, my prayer is that it would say, "You're an honorable deer hunter, like those who showed you the way."
And it ends by saying, "Honor those who came before you by showing the way to those who come behind." Just a great deer, because deer season always brings with it controversy. It always does. It never fails. Whether it's ethics or what kind of pictures to take or whatever. And it pits hunters against hunters, and it shouldn't be that way. You know, we're all hunters. Each of us does it a little differently. And a trophy to me is not a trophy to you. And your trophy is not a trophy to me. Although I think any deer, and ask anybody that hunts anywhere other than the South, if you can take a deer here in the South, you've accomplished something. Because, frankly, most of us hunting were, you know, 50 yards is a long shot. And that's close to get to a whitetail. So, and it always comes up every year, culling. Well, you know, you see a guy there, he's got a spike, and he said, "Well, I culled that one out of the herd." Great article by Ron Spomer, 7 Reasons Culling Bucks Doesn't Work. And if you don't subscribe to Sporting Classics Daily, you need to. It's free. It's an email newsletter. Just a great. Sporting Classics is an actual magazine, bi-monthly magazine, but they have a daily taste that comes out. And this one's by Ron Spomer, October 2nd. 7 Reasons Culling Bucks Doesn't Work. Okay. Shooting cull bucks to improve the antler configuration of a wild herd of whitetails, elk, or mule deer is a popular exercise, but a waste of time. A better way to produce bucks and bulls with big antlers is to not shoot young bucks, regardless of antler size. And that comes into being able to age a deer on the hoof. And Quality Deer Management Association, National Deer Alliance, all of them, from time to time will throw out age this buck. And you learn just by looking at the way his chest is, the sag in his back, where his neck enters, how thick his neck is, how long his nose. There's all sorts of things, but you learn how to age a deer on the hoof. Top 7 reasons why culling bucks doesn't work. Number 1, female deer contribute at least 50% of the genetics of any fawn. How do you identify and cull the does that birth male fawns that will only show their inferior antlers 3 or 4 years later? So, first off, you can only control half the equation. Second, during sport hunting season, bucks bull harvest may impact 10% to perhaps 25% of the male segment of a herd, leaving at least 75% of bucks untouched. How many of that 75 carry and spread genes for inferior antlers? Number 3, during many firearm seasons, when the bulk of buck harvest occurs in most states, much of the breeding activity is already done. Weak antler bucks genetics have already been passed on. Number 4, among other species, 10 to 30% of young bucks disperse into new ranges. What is to stop inferior antler genes from moving into your cull zone? Number five, how many other hunters in your area are religiously culling bucks? Even if every licensed hunter took out a cull buck with weak antlers, that would still leave about 74% of the buck population untouched. Number six, each fall about 50% of surviving fawns are bucks. They are carrying whatever genes their size, sire, and dam gave them. They will be breeding for the next 2 or 3 years before they begin to show whether their antlers are inferior or superior according to our standards. And number seven, how accurately do hunters age bucks before shooting? A buck really doesn't show its true antler growth potential until it is fully mature. Culling deer when they are just 2 or 3 years old because their antlers look inferior is like shooting pheasants before they can fly. Much as I wish it were otherwise, culling bucks in the wild is a waste of time. So let's concentrate instead on a management tool already proven to improve the average antler size of harvested bucks in wild herds. And a lot of people say, why do you want to shoot a big buck? Well, why not? If you can have big antler deer, why not have them? Antler size and shape are products of genetics, health, nutrition, minerals, and age. Of these five, age is the missing link in most hunting zones. More than genetics, age contributes to the kind of heavy antlers many whitetail hunters want to see. Biological studies have repeatedly shown that bucks under the age of 4.5 years have not and cannot grow their largest antlers. Until age 4.5, they are still growing their bones and muscle mass. Only when body growth is largely finished can they devote nutritional resources to maximum antler growth. Even young deer with spikes or puny 4x4 racks may have the potential to grow massive, tall, wide antlers at age 4.5 and beyond. So don't shoot the young ones. There is no guarantee any 4.5-year-old or older buck will grow trophy antlers, but it will at least have reached its potential. At that point, with adequate nutrition, minerals, and good health, a buck's genetics will be revealed. It will likely grow a similar rack for the rest of its life. This might be a narrow 3x3 with long tines, a moderate 4x3 with short tines, or 4x5 with no brown tines. This mature buck's genetics mark him as the type you might want to cull from the herd. Go ahead and take him out. But don't fool yourself. His poor antler potential could have been bequeathed to him by his mother. And she could be that big doe with a torn left ear you see in the northeast corner of the hayfield with twin fawns most summer nights. And don't forget, by age 4, your 3x3 cull buck has probably already bred 8 or 10 does and passed on his genetic legacy. So in conclusion, instead of clinging to our myth of culling bucks, we should only shoot mature bucks and bulls if we're interested in large antlers. If we just want venison, never mind. Stated simply, the easiest and most effective way to increase the number of bucks with our large antlers in our wild herds is don't shoot young deer. Again, you know, my trophy is not yours. Your trophy is not mine. A lot of mine these days is anything I can see is a trophy because I don't get to spend enough time out there. But if I take one with my bow, you know, if it's legal and you eat the meat, then hey, more power to you. But if you don't need to shoot that little spike or the little 4-point, let him go. You know, not everybody's out to rig deer, but wouldn't it be cool to be able to sit back and watch some big deer from time to time? I mean, at our heart, every deer hunter wants to see those big ones, you know, which brings up the next one. And it's which is why I cannot watch hunting shows. Although I understand, and this article receives hints to it a little bit. This is Hunt Right, Hunt Fair Chase. I just can't bring myself to watch hunting shows on TV anymore. Who hasn't heard this? One of the best and worst things that has happened to hunting in the last 20 years has been hunting shows or sportsman shows. Oh, no. You know what? It printed it out and missed half the page. Gosh. Oh, well, have to handle that one next time. But yeah, hunting shows, I can't watch them. Sorry. Just Steve Rinella. I can watch Steve Rinella. If you've ever met him, you'd know why. He's just a man. What a guy. Does 99% of his hunting public land. You know, has a Meat Eater TV as his show. I understand there's some more out there. And this article does in the end. It talks about, you know, a lot of other media avenues have opened up for people who have their own brand of hunting shows, and a lot of them are good. So anyway, like I said, deer season always brings out arguments, contentions and all that. But, hey, I had a couple people ask me if you've seen the Arby's commercial about the venison hamburgers they're selling. And most people scratch their head and, well, it's illegal to sell venison in South Carolina. Well, that's true. You cannot buy or sell venison in our state. And the law plainly states that the sale of white-tailed deer, wild or farm-raised, is prohibited. But there is an exception. It says it allows permitted restaurants to sell exotic farm-raised venison as a menu item. And Arby's venison is actually coming from New Zealand. There's a farming operation where it's grass-fed and free-range farm using responsible practices, according to an Arby's spokesman. These deer, they're processed in New Zealand, are processed like we would have handled beef here. So it is legal. I don't know how good it'll be. It's depending on what they fed them. But, yeah, if you want to go to Arby's and get you a venison burger, go for it. I got a good article on transitional cover and food plots here. Article from State Farm. Open letter to hunters. Just not enough time to get to it all. And I got this really good one about old field management. But, hey, they'll save till next time. And speaking of next time, might be broadcasting live from Riley's Cup, Lake Wylie, next Saturday. We'll see. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. We survived. I survived. Hope you enjoyed the show. As always, make time to get out there. Hey, leaf season is coming up. Between 4,000 and 5,000 feet right now is great. Next week be between 3,000 and 4,000 feet. So get out there, take the back roads. Don't forget your camera. See you here with more Woods and Water South Carolina next Saturday.
In my mind.